Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
I'm Malika.
And I'm DJ CK, and we are The Dinner Club.
You can join us here on 90.7 FM every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. Tonight, we're talking about a program here on campus. It's called the REACH program. It's specifically for students who are either past for a foster care students or they're currently in foster care. Our guest tonight is Shannon Hubbard. She's the coordinator of the REACH program, and Shannon was telling us, the listeners and myself, that a student can be in custody of DHR until they're 21 years old. So they could literally go through college and still be under DHR's watchful eye, I guess you could say, under their care. Let me read, before we went to break, I've picked out a few excerpts, and I wanted to get your comment on one. And this is from a New York Times article called Out of Foster Care into College, and this is from 2013. By definition, foster children have been delinquent, abandoned, neglected, physically, sexually, and or emotionally abused, and that does not take into account non-statutory abuses like heartache. About two-thirds never go to college, and very few graduate. So it's a safe bet that those who do have an uncommon resilience. Is that true of most foster care children that you've seen, that they're just survivors and they're very resilient?
Oh, absolutely. Their coping skills are through the roof.
Isn't that something?
Absolutely.
They just fight to survive because they have to.
That's right.
Before we were going to break, in this excerpt, it talks about a little bit about, some of the issues that they have, and some low percentage of students, of foster care kids who get to go to college or that choose to go to college but don't have the financial backing. Tell us a little bit about the programs or the scholarships or the funding that is in place for these students.
Okay. Well, initially we just had the ETV, which is the Education Training Voucher, and that was for all students who were ages 18 or older that were still in the foster care system,
okay,
or had aged out of the foster care system.
Uh-huh.
And that is a $5,000 per year grant, and it's kind of a first come, first serve, need based. So they have to do a budget and sort of show their need for that.
Okay.
And that, like I said, is guaranteed to any child who was in foster care on their 18th birthday or after. But what we're really excited about is the new Fostering Hope Scholarship that will roll out in fall 2016. And that scholarship was just recently signed into place by Governor Bentley, where any child who was adopted after age 14 from foster care or was in foster care on their 18th birthday can receive free college tuition from any 2 or 4 year school in the state until they're 26 years of age.
Wow.
So we are really, really excited.
That is huge, because a lot of other, not a lot, but there are several other states that are already doing that.
Absolutely. And so we lobbied really hard for that.
Are you expecting a flood of foster care kids coming into UA?
We are. We're expecting, not only incoming freshmen, but transfer students who've been going to junior colleges because they couldn't afford a four-year college to then now transfer to us in fall 2016. So we're really
excited.
And
we're the only state institution that's doing this, right? We're the only college institution in Alabama that's doing this.
No, it's any 2 or 4 year school in the state of Alabama.
Okay. How are you preparing to handle the flood of students who will transfer and will enroll?
Well, starting in January, I'll be taking some of our current REACH students and going around the state in a sort of caravan to meet with students at our local DHRs to kind of prep them for coming in in the fall.
Yes, we also that's a good idea.
We do a summer camp every June. It's called In Soro, and it's a college-bound camp. And it gives foster students an opportunity to spend a week on campus and attend classes and get oriented to campus and just, you know, just to get a college experience for a week. And what we would like to do is identify students ahead of time so that we can pre-enroll them during that week when they're here.
That'd be a good idea and kind of help you too.
Absolutely.
You know? Okay, so what do you think, in your opinion, in the few months that you've already been here, really, has it even been too much yet?
Not yet.
But you've got the experience probably to answer this question. What do you think is the biggest, and I'm going to ask our second guest about this too, what do you think is the biggest challenge for foster care kids coming into college? Is it study skills, lack of study skills? Is it lack of time management? What do you think it is?
I think the financial is going to be our first hurdle. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's going to be taken care of with the new scholarship for the most part. The next thing is going to be coping skills and study habits. And if, you know, they went to three high schools their senior year, they didn't develop the same study skills that other students had the opportunity to develop.
Right.
And so, you know, trying to provide them with that when they come for their first semester and kind of catching them up, so to speak, is one of our main goals.
You know, from your knowledge, what has been the general response from higher education to the plight of foster youth? Has there been a lot of support, or is it a struggle?
No, absolutely. Everyone loved it. It's been such a refreshing change from what I was used to coming to UA. Everyone wants to help the REACH program. Everyone wants these children to succeed and to, you know, to graduate and to have a degree and change their life course for themselves.
Yeah, and because they have the power to do that. And a lot of these kids are really smart.
Absolutely.
They make good grades and they have ambition just like other kids, you know. Okay, so the REACH program, I was reading on the website before I came over to do the show, there is a food bank. Tell us the basic needs that so that listeners can help participate. Do you need gift cards? Do you need more canned food? Do you need books? What do you need? What are the needs? The basic living needs.
Well, we have a REACH pantry, and it is comprised of basic, you know, non-perishable food items, things that could be prepared typically in a microwave, and then basic hygiene items, toilet tissue, paper towels, razors, shampoo, body wash, any laundry detergent, anything that you would probably pick up from your parents' house, batteries, extension cords, you know, anything really that you would pick up from your parents' house and you don't think about, we have in our pantry for our students to come. They just send an email to me, let me know they need to come to the pantry. We go and lock it. They get grocery bags and shop for whatever they need.
So how does somebody donate?
They can contact me through the website or through my telephone number, which is on the REACH website.
And it's reach.ua.edu.
Yes, that's correct.
Let's take some questions from emails because we've got a few questions. It might catch you off guard a little bit, but I think you can handle them. Let's see. Hold on. Let me get to the best one. Well, this person's asking kind of the same thing that I ask about the holidays, about having host families to help with the holidays. What about... Let's see, what are some of the most difficult barriers for your population to overcome when pursuing higher education?
I would say just support in general. You know, they're not likely to have
the emotional support,
people to cheer them on or encourage the continued success or to cheer them on when they're having a difficult time. You know, I think that's, you know, probably a very large barrier. That combined with financial.
Yeah, is a stressor, which is going to be, for tuition, is going to be relieved.
It will be.
When did you say that starts?
That 2016? That will start in fall 2016.
Oh, great. Okay, here's another one that we've kind of answered. How is your program impacted by government policy, and which policy changes could be beneficial for your work? Well, one is this Fostering Hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Scholarship. So are there any more? Are there any other governmental policies that could help if they changed?
If they changed, you know, maybe extending foster care beyond 21 if they're in school to continue that support from the department as well. That might be something, if they can attend school tuition-free until they're 26, then maybe we extend the departmental support 26. To their 26 as well.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They're also able to continue to have their Medicaid, so their insurance is good for them until they're 26 years of age also. So
it only makes sense, yeah, that it would be extended. Okay, let's see. Here's somebody. Sometimes you hear stories of famous people who grew up in foster homes. How much does the REACH program rely on success stories, whether from famous people or just regular folks who had success in life after growing up in foster care, to encourage foster kids? And this person uses the example of the Crimson Tide's football place kicker, Adam Griffith, who could be a good example for kids who may, in case you don't know, Adam Griffith is our fantastic place kicker. He just hit a 55-yarder in the LSU game. It was fantastic. Everybody went crazy. He was a child basically homeless and on the streets in Poland, and he was adopted by an American couple in Georgia. I think I'm getting this right, but that's a good analogy, and it would be good to use somebody like Adam kind of as a spokesperson if somebody like that's willing.
To my knowledge, had anyone come speak to our current REACH students, but what we do is utilize our current REACH scholars to participate in our REACH Back program with our high school students.
What is REACH Back?
REACH Back is the program that we use to go back to our sophomores, juniors, seniors that are still in high school.
Okay.
And so we use our current REACH scholars to tap that population and to show them, I was just in your shoes.
Yes, that's a good idea.
A year ago, and here's where I am today, and you can do it too.
To give them encouragement.
Absolutely. And I think,
prove they can do it, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's more attainable to them when they see someone who's walked their walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And put them in touch with the people who can help them, like you. Okay, one more, and then I'll let you off the hook a little bit. You've already said how many current participants are in the program, 46. And what are the benefits for the student to be part of the REACH program? I mean, I don't see any disadvantages to being in the REACH program, other than maybe some embarrassment of being labeled as a foster youth. What do you think about that?
Well, most people, when they think of REACH Scholar, it's kind of, like a first-generation program.
Yes.
And so we're kind of lumped in with Koch scholars and first-generation scholars. So when people hear REACH scholars, they really don't think foster care.
Right.
And so we, I would like to keep that kind of inconspicuous.
That's why I ask, the term foster students, mm-hmm. can I use that term? Or is there another term that we're kind of trying to get away from? Do we just call it like it is?
Yeah, I think just calling it like it is. But mm-hmm. we really would like to get out to the public that there's many different ways that students can qualify for our program. Obviously, current and former foster youth are a big population that we work with. But homeless students, they qualify for our program.
Mm-hmm.
If you were adopted, you qualify for our program. If both your parents are deceased, uh-huh. you qualify for our program.
Do we have any students that are in the program that have been homeless?
We do. We have a student who transferred here from a junior college in Louisiana. Mm. She lived in a homeless shelter while she attended junior college.
My goodness. What about, here's this same person is asking this question also. Do you know, and you may not know this because the program has only been in existence for the last 3 years. Do you know the success rate of REACH students? Maybe from other, maybe it's a little too early to ask this, but maybe even from other programs like Georgia, for instance. What is the success rate?
I'm not aware of the success rate, but I do know in reviewing the records since coming on board that we have had probably about 6 students that have graduated the REACH program since we've been in existence. And that might be a small number. I just got access to some of the transcripts and stuff, so that might be a little on the low side, but we are graduating our students.
That's fantastic. Have you thought about utilizing or asking different departments to participate and kind of take a student under their wing? Like, for instance, the counseling center, I'm just going to throw this out there. Like the counseling center, for instance, could we take like 2 or 3 students under our wing and, for instance, like when they graduate, just about everybody gets a graduation present, right?
Uh-huh.
But I bet foster care kids, maybe they don't because they don't have any relatives or, they're by themselves. So don't you think, would that be possible to have different departments?
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful idea.
I do too.
Maybe Christmas we need to gifts.
We
have Christmas coming up. So
yes, or anything, or when they that's a good name for it. Or when they start school, like a care package or a
supplies
care package.
We've had some of those
that
have been donated before in the past, and a kickoff. We've had school kickoff parties and given away backpacks full of supplies and mm-hmm. just things that you need to kind of start.
So if departments or if anybody's listening who works in a department that you think this is a great idea, just basically contact you.
Absolutely.
Because I think I'm going to pursue this. I think it's a really neat idea to give back.
Absolutely.
To our university in a unique
way.
We
would enjoy working with anyone on campus.
I think, let me make sure. One more question, Shannon. This will be for our next guest. This will be for the student who's going to come on. But let me see. Hold on. For the student, let's see, for you, is your recruitment and information geared towards in-state only?
No, we have students that are from out-of-state
You just mentioned the girl from Louisiana.
That's right.
How did she know about UA and the REACH program?
She actually came here for our autism program, mm-hmm. UA ACTS, uh-huh. and when she came for that program, she found out about REACH. But we'll be doing some recruitment at national ILP conferences
uh-huh.
where we can get the word out and not only recruit for UA, but recruit for REACH as well at those
That's
conferences.
Cool. Kind of like piggyback on other
That's
programs.
Right.
What about, someone mentioned this to me today and I didn't even think about this, about getting information out to foster youth who are UA students. Are many of them involved in social media?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. Somebody had mentioned that some of them might not be because it's expensive to have a data plan on their phone and just practical things that you don't even think about. Mm-hmm. Some of the extras that
sure.
some of the other students here at UA have. Okay, we're going to take our break. And thank you, Shannon, for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank
There's just so much
me.
To learn about this. It's really a new program.
It is. It's a fantastic program.
It is.
And like I said, the students, they've just been
And once people
wonderful.
Learn more about this, I think you're going to get more responses. You
Absolutely.
Know, you're going to get more people contacting you. Hopefully through this show, people are listening and will contact you.
Great.
We're coming back in just a minute. We're going to talk to a UA student who has been a former foster child, and she's willing to come on and share this information with us and how her journey has been. So come on back and listen. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
This is Michael Hart from Valoria, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about the REACH program here on the UA campus, which helps students who have been in foster care or are currently in foster care, actually up until they're 21 years old, which I did not realize that. So it's a fantastic program. It's kind of new. It's only been around for 3 years, but it's not new to the country. It's just very few states and universities utilize this kind of outreach service, is what I'm going to call it. My next guest, her name is Bree Clark. She says she's a little bit nervous. Most people are when they come. I get a little bit nervous before the show, but once it starts, it goes very fast. It's just like we're sitting here talking. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background, as much as you want to tell us, Bree. Like, for instance, where are you from? Did you transfer in? You're a little bit older, not real old, I mean, come on, but not a traditional aged college student, 18 to 21. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your personal life.
Okay. Of course, I was born here in Tuscaloosa. I went into the foster care program at the age of 7. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I went into the foster care program at the age of 7. My background was I had a drug-addicted mother, absent father, and a alcoholic grandmother.
Yes.
So just a lot of dysfunction. And, mm-hmm. and so the state took me in at 7 years old. And I stayed in DHR's custody and from age 7 until 19. I
was different in foster care families?
Yes. I had been in, I don't want to scare you, okay. but about, if I had to count.
Girl, I did groups at juvenile detention. So unless you've been in juvenile detention, then you're not going to scare me.
No. It was probably about 19 different placements.
Yeah.
In,
yeah.
What, 12 years?
Yeah.
And
Is that uncommon?
Not really.
I don't think it is either.
No.
I don't think, because I've seen plenty of children. I think you might not have heard this because you weren't here yet, but when I first opened my private practice in Northport, mm-hmm. all I saw were DHR, I keep saying students, children, mm-hmm. and a lot of them had already been in foster care families, different yeah. ones. So, yeah.
See, the thing, I think, I'm pretty sure DHR has gotten a lot better with now
yeah.
because of different laws, but back and when I was growing up in foster care,
yeah.
Parents' rights were not terminated quickly. So
right.
The issue with that was that children weren't adopted and mm-hmm. They couldn't be adopted.
Basically, yeah.
And so I was one of those that fell through the cracks.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't able to be adopted. And the older you get in foster care, still
the harder it gets,
harder,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's harder to place. So
mm-hmm.
you know, you end up going from either foster home or group home or
yeah.
facility, you know, and it's
did
a cycle.
Did you always stay in Alabama?
No. I, of course, grew up here, so I was always under the Tuscaloosa County Department
DHR.
DHR's mm-hmm. Custody, but you could stay anywhere within the state. And I actually stayed in almost every city in Alabama. I won't say almost
what?
Every, but I have stayed in
Big
places.
Big city.
No,
little
city. I've stayed in places that you don't even know is on the map.
Lutahatchee, Alabama?
No, not there.
There you go.
Union Springs, Owens Crossroads, like places that you don't even know exist. But you know they exist.
I've heard of Owens Crossroads, yes.
I got my driver's license there, and all I had to do was parallel park.
So oh, girl.
If I can't drive,
hey,
then
that's
it's because
one more
I
than
got
me, because I can't parallel park. I never have been able to.
but I also, DHR did the kinship thing where I
it
was actually moved from Alabama to Michigan
uh-huh.
to live with family member in Michigan
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work out because I wasn't placed in school and
yeah.
the Michigan school system is like crazy. It's a lot of dropout. The dropout rate is really high.
It's high. Uh-huh.
And so I felt like I would have gotten lost in those numbers.
You definitely would have.
So
yeah.
I ended up coming back. Or
DHR who made the decision for you to come back? DHR?
No.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't know if you were old enough to do that, if they would allow you to do that.
Oh yeah. No. It was technically considered runaway.
Oh. Whatever. So, that's in quotes.
Yes, in quotes. But my education, like I said, had always been important to me. So mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a high school dropout. That's what my, you know, my, that
fear.
Was the cycle of my family.
Yes, yes.
So.
Did you make good grades?
I did.
Decent.
When I was.
I'll say decent.
Decent. Well, I made, like now my kids are not allowed to bring C's home, but like all I had was C's, but I won't tell them that and they're not listening.
Yeah, I hope they're not listening tonight.
C's were A's to me back in school, but
yeah, I guess so.
But I did, when I was able to stay in one placement, you know, I did well in school, uh-huh. but the problem was that I was moved from place to place and, you know, I was homeschooled or, you know, people would come in to teach you if you're in a group home
uh-huh.
or sometimes I went to public school. So that was the issue with my education growing.
What year are you here at Alabama?
I'm going into my junior year.
Yeah. What's your major?
My major is social work.
I knew you were going to say that. Do you want to work with children? Do you kind of want to do what social workers did for you?
I almost said I don't like kids, but I'm not going to say that because I
Now, wait a minute. How many children do you have? Now, Bree. This is turning into a weird interview.
No, but I love
you've got two children, okay?
I have two children. I love my children, but I'm, you know, I'm obligated to
listen. Don't feel bad. My mother has always said you love your own, but you don't want other people's kids around. You know, a lot of times.
But my passion is that group of foster kids who I feel like are forgotten, and that's the youth, the teenagers, and. They are labeled to have behavior problems or
that's what I was going to ask
oppositional defiance. And so mm-hmm. my focus is them. I don't know exactly what I will be doing, but I know that there's a need
big time.
And so that's what I hope to do.
Okay. Let me ask you, how many social workers did you go through?
Probably about three.
This is real personal. So just, if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it.
Oh, I'm very transparent.
Did you, me too, girl. Did you feel like they cared about you? Because the reason I'm asking that is because I have dealt with many social workers too that I felt like were burned out or you were just a number in the system.
You get that with any kind of child welfare, and that's why I'm trying to stay far away from it because I was on the other end and now I have people who were
that's
on
why
the opposite
you're gonna
end.
Be so good doing it.
But my the very last social worker I had, I won't say her name. But,
please don't. I probably know her. If it's here in Tuscaloosa.
You do. You know her. But I still talk to her to date.
Aww.
And I was her headache. I really was. Because she cared so much.
I get it. And you lose sleep at night.
Yeah, well, she probably didn't. I was the one that was calling her at 2 a.m.
She lost sleep at night because you were calling her at 2 a.m.
Yes. But and I still talk to her to date, and she is you know, she's here at UA now.
Really?
That's another thing.
She works at UA?
She works at UA.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's another thing. I feel like I can't get away from these people.
You can't.
I spent 12 years.
You can't. It's meant
Shannon.
To be.
But I spent 12 years with these people, and I'm like, I want to get far away from y'all. And all of them are coming to UA now.
Karma. It's karma.
Probably.
Hey, we're going to take a break, Bree, and see how fast that went by. And when we come back, I want you to talk more about the REACH program and how it's helped you. And I've got some specific questions. And we've got a couple of questions via email, if you'll take those.
Okay.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
I heard that you're settled down. You found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Old friend, why are you so shy? Ain't like you. Stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best of you too.
Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
I've lost my senses.
Hey, this is Rowan Lawler from St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and you're listening to 90.7, The Capstone.
That went away.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters, and we're talking tonight about the REACH program here on the campus and what the program offers to students, current UA students, who have been in foster care or are still currently in foster care. And my guest right now is a UA student. She's a junior majoring in social work. Her name is Bree Clark, and she just shared a little bit about her personal life and how she got to be in the foster care system. How did you, Bree, how did you get to UA? How did you learn about the REACH program, and did it make a difference in making a decision to go to college?
Okay. Well, my college journey actually started probably about 11 years ago.
Really?
When I finished high school mm-hmm. in 2002, I went to Alabama State in 2003.
Okay.
And, you know, going into a four-year college or going into any kind of, academic institution,
yeah.
especially coming from a background where you didn't have stability, it was extremely intimidating. You're like thrown into the pack of
wolves. Yes.
And your lifestyle has not been normal, but you have to, you know, assimilate to this lifestyle.
That's exactly right.
And it didn't work out for me.
Did you have problems? Did you hear me ask Shannon about problems that a lot of students have with time management, with study skills? Because you hadn't really been taught that.
Yeah, I definitely did. I went to class, but uh-huh. I did not
take it serious.
I didn't. And then right in the beginning of my freshman year, then my biological mother died, and that was like it shook my foundation.
Did you have a relationship with her at all?
It was very inconsistent, but I definitely knew who she was, and I did communicate with her.
And I think when that happens. The reason we're going into the counseling mode now. I just put my counselor hat on. I think the reason it shakes you is because you always have that hope of having a relationship with your biological parent.
DHR may have had that too. Maybe that's the reason why her rights weren't terminated sooner.
That's true.
They always thought that maybe she'll do it right this time, mm-hmm. or she'll stay consistent mm-hmm. this time. But so I ended up dropping out of college. And not long after that, I found out I was pregnant with my oldest son. Moved back to Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
Gave that social worker another heart attack. Probably a slight stroke. But, so probably about 4 years later,
Did you just work at that point? Because when you went back to Michigan, did you just work at that point? You didn't go to school?
I didn't go to school. I was already finished with school.
Okay.
With high school. Mm-hmm. But I had moved in with a boyfriend.
Significant other.
Yes. And that was another story in itself.
It's a whole nother show. In the spring.
Story. But needless to say, I ended up coming back to Alabama again because this was what
baby
I
in tow.
Yes, yes. And so I came back and had him a whole bunch of other stuff that's probably for another story, another show or whatever. And after he was probably about 7 months, I moved back to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And
you have somebody to live with?
I didn't. Well, okay. I did. I came back and stayed with a family here that I considered my family.
Okay.
That was a foster family.
Okay.
And until I was able to get my own
feet
apartment.
On the ground. Yeah.
And probably about a year after I moved back, I attempted to go to community college.
Okay.
And community college, you don't have a lot of financial assistance. Like the four-year colleges have scholarships uh-huh. and a lot more than just the FAFSA uh-huh. that anybody can qualify if you get financial
True.
Aid. But so I tried to work full-time and go to school full-time. And
Have a baby.
Raise
a child.
Yes. And it didn't work out, of course. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm back at square one, and I quit school again, and I just worked a lot of different jobs, mm-hmm. and ended up getting married after a couple of years, and was able to, and then had another baby.
because I knew that second one was going to come in here somehow.
I had another baby, and I was able to really. I did stay at home for a while, work part-time, because of course there's two people now.
You got a little bit of relief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years passed by and I'm divorced.
Oh gosh.
Yes. With two kids.
This is not one story.
Not one, but two. Yeah. So again, I'm a single parent with two kids. Uh-huh. And I was just thinking about how I wanted my life to be. And I thought about college and I was like, well, I got two kids. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because trying to work, I gotta
sounds
work.
Sounds impossible.
I gotta work. You have
gotta
to work.
Work.
Yeah, I have bills. They don't stop.
That's right.
And that social worker had told me about the REACH program at UA. I applied back to community college. Went to community college for 3 years.
Okay.
I started out at Shelton, transferred to Lawson State, and I was in there nursing. And so I transferred here as That's a nursing hard. Student.
Uh huh.
And was basically told that I could either come here and get a degree, or I could go to another school and get my nursing degree, because you know the nursing department here is extremely competitive.
Oh, it's the standards are extremely high.
Yeah. So I was accepted to UWA and UA.
Okay.
And ended up coming here. I accepted to UWA's nursing program and then UA's just general admission.
Yes.
And had heard about the REACH program and came in and got connected that way.
And things have been different ever since. Now, will you get to take advantage? You're a junior, you said.
Yes.
So your anticipated graduation is when?
The spring of 2017.
So you will get to take advantage of this new Fostering Hope.
Yes. I won't complain that it's like my last two semesters.
Don't complain.
I'm not going to complain.
That
I'm
is
just
so,
saying.
That is so wonderful
Yeah,
for
but
you.
It's awesome. It's awesome for all the foster kids coming in.
Yes. Okay, tell me a little listen. Jordan's giving me signals. Jordan, you're distracting me, but thank you anyway. Okay, explain a little bit how your college experience is different from your peers, because you're a little bit older than most of the traditional college age mm-hmm. kids who are here, and it feels almost like you're a commuter student, right?
Yes.
I mean, do you feel a part of the campus, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I actually do get involved in some of the organizations.
Yeah.
Not as many as other students, and because of my background, because of the type of person I am, I love people. I love to socialize, but
I do. I'm shocked.
But I also like my time, my personal time. So
me too.
Love it. But anyway, so with that, I'm not as involved as other students. Like you did mention the age difference. So some mm-hmm. students who are younger, I don't get to communicate with on the same level.
Yes.
Just because our interests are different. But
are you ready to take some email questions?
Yes.
Not to distract
I'm scared.
You, but I'm looking. Don't be scared. these are pretty common, I think. I'm looking right now. Hold on. Let me see. Let me get this one that I was going to ask for Shannon, but it's actually for a student. What would you most want the university community, particularly professors and staff, to know about you?
If
you hadn't already told us.
And if you're, like, not one of my instructors, well, if you are one of my instructors, then you know everything about me already. But if you're not my instructor, just know that I'm a student here, majoring in social work, and I want to make a difference in the lives of, you know, the people that's in REACH, the people that's coming to REACH, the kids that's at school thinking that they don't have what it takes to go to college.
Yes.
The kids that have been told that they won't amount to anything. I just want to make a difference.
Who really influenced you? You know, who influenced you to pursue a degree?
Honestly, I think it was
you.
Me. I think, nobody, you really got to want it.
Yeah,
that's
you
the
do.
Way I feel about
you
it.
You do.
I mean, and it helps having supporters behind you and people to like nudge you, and you get that
to
with the
give
REACH
you
program.
That belief that you can do
yes,
it.
Yes, but I didn't have that coming back. It was just a moment of life where you just got to figure out what you want and mm-hmm. go and mm-hmm. get it
and try to find a way to get it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the next question. Well, this was kind of what I just asked you. What's your motivation, inspiration for pursuing higher education?
Mm-hmm.
How were you informed about the REACH program? You just shared that with mm-hmm. us. Let me see if I can find another question for you.
I talk so much, I've already answered them all.
No, I've asked most of them to Shannon, because most of them were, it sounded like, geared toward her. Let me see. Did you hear me talk about the success of like people who are in the public spotlight or who are famous, mm-hmm. and how that impacts maybe the foster care youth. I mean, I know you're not famous. You will be after the show, but you know,
yeah, right.
but you know, how much does that really influence people to know? I mean, I think you reach like a larger yeah. audience is what the key is, right?
Yes. Now, I was able to serve on the panel for the Reach Back, the one that they yes. just had this summer. I wasn't a staff, so I didn't work with them every day. Wasn't fortunate enough uh-huh. to do that, but I was uh-huh. asked to be on the panel. And some of the, they were high school students from all over Alabama. And I remember a couple of the students coming in and they had questions and they were saying, well, what if I'm not smart enough? Or what if, you know, I got ADHD. What if somebody how can somebody with ADHD finish college? And I'm like, that's the whole world, you know?
Yeah.
But no, seriously.
Feels like it.
But, you know, I just forgot your question.
No, you were on the panel, so you must have really, hopefully you made a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because you set the example.
Yes, I wanted to be able to show students that uh-huh. I came from where you came from.
And it took you years.
Yes, and you don't have to. You got somebody to stand in front of you now while you're 17 years old.
That's right.
And not when you're 30.
That's right.
To tell you that you can do this.
What do you think, this is what I asked Shannon, I don't know if you heard this, what do you think about using the term foster care kid, foster student? Is that offensive to you? Is it embarrassing?
No, but I can see, and it was at one point in time when I was younger.
I know it was.
You don't want people.
It sets you apart.
Yeah, you don't want people to know that you're in foster care when you're younger. But mm-hmm. I feel like it's a part of my story.
It really is.
And with my focus, my emphasis on impacting the lives of those foster kids, I share it, and I'm very transparent.
Well, and two, I think giving them definition of what foster means, it's not a negative.
No.
You know, it's not a negative word. It's foster means taking care. I'm just, you know, making this up, but it's taking care of something or somebody and taking that child under your wing.
Yeah. And I like the thing with the term for me is when you say that you grew up in foster care, you used the word foster care, you know, foster yeah. child, then it actually shows people that you are resilient. You are strong.
Big time.
You're in college.
You're
so,
a survivor.
Yes. And so I don't think that it should be associated with anything that's negative.
Mm-mm.
That's a part of your story.
And that could be like your message right there yeah. when you go out and talk to other students yeah. who might want to do this. See, it went by fast, Bree, didn't it? It's over. I need to make some announcements, but thank you so much for
You're
being
welcome.
On the show. Fantastic. I mean, we could talk. You and I could talk all night. I could tell that. Thanks for listening to the show tonight. I always like to make a few announcements. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on the Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. And if you want to listen to the past shows, just go to the Brain Matters icon at the bottom of the homepage. It'll take you to some of those shows. And you can also go to audioboom.com and type in WVUA-FM, and some of our shows will pop up there also. I want to remind everyone that in honor of Veterans Day, which is tomorrow, there are luminaries in the shape of the United States flag tonight at the Walk of Champions. It is beautiful. I mean, you should really drive by or walk over there and see it and pay your respects to the veterans who have done so much for our country. Enjoy these beautiful luminaries. It's from 5:30 tonight until 7:30. I'm going to drive by there after I get through with the show tonight because I'm really excited about that kind of stuff. I want to mention also at the Counseling Center, we offer a number of group-related services, including workshops, support groups, and therapy groups. Our current group offerings, along with a description and the name of each group leader, can be found on our website at counseling.ua.edu. I do one of those groups, Reducing Your Anxiety. If you're interested in any of our groups, just give us a call at 348-3863 and tell the person that you are interested in joining one of the groups. They're free. So that always gets people's attention, especially students. As always, I want to thank a few people who have made this show possible. Dr. Lee Keyes, our executive director at the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media, my production assistants, Jordan Williams, Dorothy Beck, and Natalie Beck, my colleagues at the Counseling Center, WVUA staff, and, of course, my guests tonight, Shannon Hubbard and Bree Clark. Also, thanks for the great email questions, and thanks for listening. Geek Life is next. You've been listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.